Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a nice week.
Yeah, now you have to say week.
I have to say week, and we'll discuss why later in the show.
Yeah.
But first, I'd like to get to our Twitter followers.
Twitter.
So we got a very good podcast, which I think is pretty good podcast, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It says it in the name.
Yeah, I listened to a couple of their shows earlier just to see what they're about, and I'll get into it a little more, see how good they are.
Uh-huh.
Zesty Left Wing News. Mm. Seth MacFarlane. No, not the Seth MacFarlane. Sorry. Joel Kaminsky. Free Thought Equality. And yes, the Free Thought Equality Pack.
Oh, uh-huh.
Belief. UFCW. Amanda Jones. And Gateway to Reason.
Excellent.
So Gateway to Reason is actually where the Original Model Project has rented a booth and is a sponsor of.
Cool.
So Tom, who has been on the show, will be there.
Yep.
Along with maybe Nikki. I think Nikki's going to.
Oh, uh-huh.
Who's been on the show also.
Right. Yeah.
So you just don't know.
I was going to say probably lack of me being around to do anything.
No, that was actually the
I was going to say, wasn't that like an interview?
Yeah, that was the interview you didn't want to participate in.
Oh.
But that's fine.
I'm a Debbie Downer.
No, that was a downer episode.
That's why. Okay. So, yeah, I know where that's going.
Yeah, that was...
No, I chose not to be at that one. That's right.
That was Grief Beyond Belief, which I re-released a couple weeks ago when we were off.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, good fun there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, as I said, welcome back and hope you had a wonderful week.
Yes, because now we are...
We're moving. We're going to start releasing on Wednesdays.
Right.
So scheduling issues have come up, and recording on Sundays is getting really tight. And it
contributes to two things. The weather, we wind up getting so much more busier in the summertime. And two, what started the whole thing is those damn caucuses.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to talk a little about the caucuses.
That's what started this whole thing. And then doing it on Wednesday just seemed to make more sense.
Yeah. So normally, you know, we record on Sunday night. Well, this Sunday was the Washington State caucuses, the second round. And we went to those because we were delegates.
Right. So we had to be there, and we had to be there for the whole thing.
The worst cluster I've ever been involved in.
Oh, I heard they had it even more rough at a few other places, though.
Yeah, Tacoma. They didn't get out till midnight.
Yeah. Who knows how long ours actually went, because we didn't stay for the recount.
They were done by then. 8 o'clock. Their numbers were in.
Oh, okay.
So they were done.
Yeah, because, no.
But yeah. Sam and Becky were there till midnight. They even had to vacate the room they were in and go finish in the parking lot.
Now, was that just to get the initial vote in, or was that to also wait for the recount?
The recounts.
The finish count.
Yeah, they stayed for the whole thing, which we couldn't do.
I honestly, even if we didn't have kids that we had to get back to, I don't know if I could have done that.
Right.
I mean, we stayed and cast our vote and did everything, which, you know, that was all at the end. But by that time, it was so late already that we could not stay for them to count this set and wait for in case they had to do a recount. Because the counting as people just came in the door took them 4 hours just to count one person each having a say.
Yeah.
You know, as you mark your name as you come in the door. So that took them 4 hours. Could you imagine how long it would have taken them to count where you'd have, you know, X number of people each having multiple names that
ridiculous.
They have to count a vote for? No, there's no way.
No. Well, we couldn't stay. We had too much other things we had to get done because it was a scheduled time frame and it went way past scheduled time frame.
Which is why we wind up not doing the show that night.
Yes, because we had so much other stuff to
and
do.
Then Monday, we probably would have done it Monday, but I started a new job, first day on the job, and I was exhausted by the time I got home. There was just no way that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's fine. So we're recording on Tuesday night now, and we're going to do a Wednesday night
right.
or a Wednesday morning release.
I was going to say you release in the morning on Wednesday. Yeah.
All right.
So hopefully that works out for everybody.
I think so.
Yeah.
So now we move on to something a little different.
Yeah, enough of that mumbo jumbo.
For 5 years, Ask an Atheist has produced weekly programming, done live shows, hosted musical and comedy events, and interviewed myriad activists, scientists, and other individuals. They've kept going because of monetary contributions from listeners and hundreds of hours of work from their rotating cast of hosts and friends of the show. But perhaps, most importantly, and often overlooked, has been the sheer expertise of their executive producer, Sam. Sam's ingenuity has allowed them to string together cannibalized parts from defunct systems with the help of customized open source software.
So basically, the same thing that you do, except he has much more intense stuff.
He's way better at it.
Well, and that. No, way I was just thinking of his use for what he does with right. it.
He has at times literally built elements of a studio from trash, and it's not uncommon for him to spend 40 consecutive hours fixing a bug as production deadlines loom.
Blah, 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 blah.
You think, I spent a lot of time in here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's ingenious, humbling to watch, and a bit scary at times. And now it's time for a hardware overhaul. No more baling twine and sealing wax. No more guesswork to see that Frankenstein hardware will run software they need. No more guesswork to see that Frankenstein software will run the software they need. They have their eyes on audio and computer equipment, but need your help. Go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button and chip in. Or see them in person, if you happen to live locally,
yes.
to save them the PayPal fees.
Right, and every little tiny bit or big bit makes a huge difference.
Right. But here's a little extra teaser.
Oh, okay.
Ask an Atheist, Radio versus the Martians, Podcast of La Vista, Rated 80s, Hands-Free Football, and several other projects have utilized the studio over the years. Let them continue to be a place where other creatives can collaborate and produce awesome content. So I listened to all but one of those because mm-hmm. I don't know what Rated 80s is.
Sounds interesting, actually.
Yeah, it does. If it's still running, I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Radio versus Martians, that's Mike Gillis's show.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of comics and movies, and and he also does Podcast La Vista, which is all about Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's awesome.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Ask an Atheist with Sam.
Right.
And Hands Free Football is a new one with Dave and Carol Brulette about soccer.
So, see, that's the one I need to start listening to. Yeah, I know.
So if you like soccer, even if you don't like soccer, go listen to that.
Yeah, I'm just starting to get into soccer. Right. I really like watching it.
Yeah, but they definitely need some support. I've seen what Sam can do, right. and I'm telling you, he's like a hero to me. I just wish I could do what he does.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely go out and help as much as you can.
Yep. And we're going to move into stories.
News stories. Uh-huh.
Anti-vax, anti-medicine kills 18-month-old.
So they're anti-everything.
Yeah, they're pretty much.
Yeah.
On March 5th, the Canadian government opened its trial against David and Colette. The charge, failing to provide their 19-month-old Ezekiel the necessities of life. According to prosecutors, David and Colette refused to take their sick son to see a doctor, instead giving him home remedies such as smoothies containing hot pepper, ginger root, horseradish, onion, and apple cider vinegar.
Well, that's the cure-all.
Yeah. Even after warnings from a family friend who is a nurse, the anti-vaccine couple took him to a naturopath for echinacea.
And what, is a naturopath like a naturalist?
Yeah. Well, kind of. So a naturopath is someone who believes that only natural,
right,
natural, unmodified products.
Right.
Yeah.
Only like, natural ways can heal you.
Yeah. And echinacea is an herb believed to stimulate the immune system, and they took...
Seriously?
Yeah.
And he was already sick.
Well, yeah.
Well, then it's not going
to
help.
Well, they believed it would. It was only when Ezekiel began to have trouble breathing that they rushed him to a hospital. Ezekiel died from bacterial meningitis and empyema? I'm not sure how to say that. Two conditions routinely cured with antibiotics. If convicted, the parents could spend up to 5 years in prison.
And they should, because that was something that not only could have been prevented, but it was fixable.
Well, mostly because these people are anti-science, which really, really pisses me off.
I don't understand that. The whole point of why we have come up with the medicines that we have is to improve life.
Right.
Because back before all of this, you would die exactly this way.
Right, with naturopathic medicine, because that's all they had.
Because that's right, that's all they had. And that's why we have the medicines that we have today.
Right.
So that you don't, one, have to die from simple things that are curable, and two, you don't have to go through the pain that they had to go through.
Right. I mean, bacterial meningitis is entirely curable now.
Absolutely.
And quickly. A quick round of antibiotics.
Simple, yeah. Even. Yeah.
Anyway, this sort of stuff really pisses me off. And it's the one thing that I will get really angry about is anti-vax and anti-medicine. because it doesn't affect the person who's anti-vax, and it doesn't affect the person who's anti-medicine.
But yet the child it has
affects,
no say.
It affects the child.
Right, because they're not you doing be, it to themselves, right. They're doing it to their
I don't
child.
Care if you are anti-medicine. Don't take medicine all you want, but don't deny it from your children.
Right.
Because you're basically killing your children.
Obviously, I mean, we hear stories like these time and time again. And the fact that, you know, they're taking their rights away. I mean, yes, of course, they're not old enough to make that decision. But
which is why they are entitled to medical rights.
Right. But I mean.
And parents who deny their children medical rights should be prosecuted under neglect at least.
Exactly.
But the sad part is there are 32 states in the United States that have exemptions.
Oh, really?
Religious exemptions.
Oh, yes, yes. We know that one well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Religious exemptions to medicine.
Well, religious exemptions to everything. Because I can think of several things right now that they get exemptions from.
Vaccines.
That I think are total BS.
Hell, in Washington, you get a personal exemption for vaccines. Well, I don't think they're doing that anymore. I think that's phasing out. I know California completely phased out personal.
I was going to say, I think I heard them.
Mississippi does not allow religious exemptions for vaccines. Did you know that?
Really?
And guess who has the best vaccination records? Mississippi,
actually, they're usually...
Because their people were dying.
But that's what I don't understand. They obviously made that law now, but people still die no matter what state you're in.
Right.
You'd think it would be a universal
once
thing.
Once you're in Mississippi, you don't get to leave.
Really?
Very often. It's hard to get out of Mississippi.
Anyways,
next story.
Please.
Same vein.
Great.
80 child deaths linked to Oregon church. Parents say it is a matter of faith.
This is very depressing. You know that,
yeah,
right?
I know. I wanted to be angry.
Well, you're doing a good job.
You're not done yet.
Oh, I'm already ticked. I'm mellow right now.
Okay. A church in Oregon has been linked to over 80 child deaths since 1976. Parents in the fundamental Pentecostal sect, however, claim that the kids' deaths are just a matter of deeply held faith.
I was going to say something I shouldn't have said, but are you kidding me?
No. This is...
Wait,
this...
how are they... That's the church allowed to keep running?
Religious freedom.
Oh, my God.
The Church of the Firstborn preaches that the members, even young children, should forego medical treatment and instead rely on God alone. This belief extends even to the treatment of manageable diseases and chronic conditions, such as pneumonia and diabetes.
How are they allowed to do that? Don't tell me religious exempt again. That's total BS. Why are they allowed to go above the law?
So here's the thing. Oregon no longer allows that.
Thank you.
A Western Oregon couple is headed to prison for trying to faith heal their 2-month premature newborn instead of taking him to the hospital.
Jesus.
Dale and Shannon Hickman are members of the Followers of Church of Christ, which doesn't hold with medical treatment at all, preferring fervent prayer.
Yeah, because that works every time.
Anointing with oil and sitting around doing nothing while its members' children die.
And so they've gone through 80 children, right?
Yeah.
When were they thinking, okay, maybe this isn't working?
It's the way we've always done it.
I don't give a crap. I mean, so you're going through numbers. Okay, we've had 10. Now we've had 15. Now we're going to 30. Now we're going to 40. I mean, at what point do you say something
you
has
don't.
To be changed?
You want to know why? Because it's God's will.
Oh, bullshit. I don't care. That's crap.
Yeah. So, and this idea didn't work out for their son, David, who died just 9 hours after being born at home.
Oh, don't even get me started on home births.
The Hickmans insisted at a trial that they had no idea David was any risk until 15 minutes before he died. Come on. The kid's 2 months premature.
Yes.
You know,
that right there raises flags.
Right. He weighed 4 pounds.
Okay, more flags.
And according to doctors who saw the home video taken by the parents, was in obvious distress.
So did they have a midwife, or are they just winging this on their own?
I didn't say anything about a midwife. A doctor testifying for the prosecution said that if David had been taken to the hospital immediately after birth, he would have a 99% chance of survival.
So after he was born, they just sat around.
And prayed.
And that was it.
That was it.
Even though they
I think they anointed
see...
him with oil.
Okay, so on a little side note here, what I find interesting, yes, this is their belief. No medicine, blah, blah, blah. I guess because I can't think like that is why I don't understand it, but I can't understand why there isn't some internal part of, at least, you know, the mom who just gave birth to him, that something starts to click to override that because, you know, God doesn't want them to have medicine crap. Why doesn't something in their head just start snapping?
Because their faith has overridden everything else. Everything else that makes sense, that little thing clicking in their head is Satan.
Nope, I can't go there.
That is what it is. I mean, that's I can't imagine any other concept that would drive them to not take their child to the hospital. And this sort of stuff infuriates me. And these people need not just jail time. They need permanent jail time. They need no more kids because this is ridiculous. And these churches that do this need to have their tax exempt status revoked. They need to stop operating because they are killing children.
They also need to be not only held accountable, obviously, but they need to be made, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, you know, to show other people that, you know, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean,
that's why I'm so glad Oregon is starting to prosecute these people, because this is ridiculous.
I mean,
not only do they need to prosecute the parents, they need to prosecute the church leaders who are pushing this crap.
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, that's like enticing people to go out and shoot up some other person's faith because your church leader encouraged and told you to do so. So, you know, they should be held accountable.
I agree.
I mean, that's like, it's like a teacher telling, you know, a kid that, you know, the best thing you could do in life is shoot up something or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's a leadership, a place of power telling them to do these things. They should totally be held accountable.
I agree. And speaking of accountable.
Oh, God.
We're going to move on to the next story.
I don't like you today.
I'm sorry. I wanted to make you mad.
Hi there. This is Matthew the Apostle. Have you been wondering if it was your local pastor that ran away with the church's money and the deacon's wife? Do you just want to know if it was your rabbi that was arrested for planting a spy camera in the women's bathhouse? Has it ever crossed your mind that it might just be your archbishop that was arrested for fondling children in his care? Or do you just want to know more about the Southern Baptist pastor who was arrested for seeking a little canine carnal companionship? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you need to listen to In the Name of God, the podcast, your weekly roundup of the most bizarre and hypocritical actions of the people who claim to live the pure and pious life as dictated by their God. In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news from the Atheist Apostle. A proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. On the web at secularoutreach.com.
Deborah Stokes is making headlines for operating a string of disastrous Christian daycares all over southern Alabama for a decade. Stokes began operating daycares 14 years ago in Saraland, Alabama, according to Reveal, the Center for Investigative Reporting. Just weeks into her new career, authorities discovered she was keeping kids in a building that didn't meet basic health and safety standards. Stokes was arrested for child endangerment, criminally charged, and later convicted. She was also banned from operating a daycare for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Well, that's...
the state doing the job.
That's how it's supposed to go.
She opened a daycare in a decrepit warehouse that one worker described as a house of horror movie. Another was next to a porn site. Now, this is after her...
Porn store. It's not going to work if neither one of us can talk.
Anyway, so even after her ban, she continued opening daycares.
How did she do that?
So,
I mean, how do you get away? You literally had your license taken away, basically.
I'm going to get into that. Mm-hmm. Parents and workers have reported Stokes for abuse, neglect, hitting kids with fly swatters, locking them in closets, wrapping them with rulers, and failing to pay employees, according to police reports.
When did she go to jail?
Police, county officials, city council members.
Can you say that?
No, city council members, building inspectors, and tons of former employees and upset parents have tried to take action, but they can't seem to stop her.
Are you?
When she is forced to close one of her daycares, she opens another one in a neighboring town.
Again and again?
Yeah. This is all possible because daycares that identify as religious, like Stokes, are exempt from certain licensing rules and don't require any real government oversight.
Okay, once again.
In 16 states.
I'm saying again, why the hell, just because they claim religious beliefs, are they allowed to go above the effing law?
I'm going to get to that. The Alabama Department of Human Resources didn't verify the safety requirements of one of her daycares in Mobile because they trusted that the churches would tell the truth and comply with the law.
Are you kidding?
There it is.
Because they were leaving it up to the churches to take care of it? Because, you know, that worked well in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Within months, a county health inspector named Alice Rollins was responding to parents' complaint and found babies lying in carriers on the floors because Stokes hadn't bought enough cribs. Rollins wrote in her notes that one infant had been neglected for so long that urine had soaked through its outer garments and it sat on the carpet. Electrical outlets in the kitchen didn't have childproof plugs or cover plates. As an electrician, That angers me.
Well, okay, I'm a preschool teacher. I can tell you everything that's pissing me off right now.
Yeah, I know.
You were saying.
Meanwhile, reports state that they could find no evidence that Stokes's church, which she founded, holds services or performs outreach.
What?
Yeah.
Read that again.
Reports are that there's no evidence that Stokes's church, which she founded, holds services or performs any outreach. It's a fake church.
And I'll ask again, is she going to frickin' jail?
No.
Why?
Because she's religious.
I don't give a shit.
They also found that at least 80 daycare operators who suddenly decided to identify as religious after regulators tried to shut them down. Think about that.
Translate. I just lost it.
So the regulators will show up to a poorly run
center, child,
right, and start investigating, and suddenly they're religious daycare.
Say they're not all centers. There's well, different whatever forms, it is, right? But anyways.
And suddenly they become religious daycares.
Again, that's what I'm freaking talking about. Why are they allowed to be above the law? Because all you have to do is claim, hey, I'm religious, and you get out of it.
Right. She is currently running a church daycare called Little Nemo's next to an auto repair shop. Good safe place for kids. And is at least her 12th. And all she had to do to open her doors was tell regulators that her daycare was part of her church.
And I've been in this business for over a decade. And I have to say that
Over a decade? You've been in longer than that.
Well, okay. Well, I've taught child care. Well, I was going to say, I've taught child care for 11 years. Now I'm back in it again. I've been home with the girls for a long time. So, you know, I get this. But, and I've seen time and time again, good center, you know, good facilities all the way to, oh my God, facilities, you know. And I've seen the religious ones. They don't even have to follow freaking fire codes. They don't have to have health inspections. They don't have to have anything. And the fact that they are allowed to do that is complete and total bullshit. Because I don't care. I'm saying it.
Fine.
Because, okay, I mean, state-run facilities, you know, ones that are not religious, they have to follow some seriously strict guidelines. And it's all in the safety of the kids.
I know
so
that.
It should be. And some states are, you know, easier than others, and some are really strict. But in everywhere I've seen, the religious ones don't have to follow one damn thing. Not ratio, not fire codes, not health codes, not sanitary codes, nothing. And it's absolutely insane that they are given a free pass because they claim they believe in some supernatural Santa in the sky.
I know.
And the fact that they're putting little kids in danger, little kids who have no choice in the safety of themselves because it's up to the adults to take care of them. And it's bullshit.
A lot of times the parents don't even know about this.
Oh, trust me. Been there, done that. I know exactly how that works. Because, I mean, and I even can say some that are not religious who don't follow things that they should be also play that game as well.
Right.
You know, so but not to the extremities that you have in the religious ones.
No, yeah, I agree. And I think religious exemptions for daycares is ridiculous.
No, I'm sorry. When you're taking care of small children, they should not be allowed to be above the damn law.
No.
Because that's basically what they are. They are above the law in that case.
Right.
And God, I could go on forever because that pisses me off so much. I would never put my children in that, even if I was freaking religious.
All right.
But anyways, go.
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
All right. So this week I decided to have a Bailey Award because we'd had enough bad news.
Yeah. Let's dial down the awful because I've had a freaking enough of it.
Well, let's dial up the awesome.
If you say so, I want to hear it.
Each year on the first Thursday of May, elected officials gather in Washington, D.C. and around the country for a National Day of Prayer. It's a day when public servants, from the president on down, encourage Americans of all faith to pray and contemplate the role of divine in their lives. That's not the awesome.
I was going to say, you said this was supposed to be good.
It is good. This week, Representative Mike Honda, Democrat of California, and Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, a Democrat who represents D.C., don't get me started on that one, in the U.S. House of Representatives, introduced a resolution to create a secular alternative to the National Day of Prayer.
No kidding.
The one-time occasion, known as the National Day of Reason, would be observed on Thursday, May 5th, the same day as this year's National Day of Prayer.
I think that's my favorite part.
Yes. According to the resolution's authors, National Day of Reason would provide an opportunity for the religious and non-religious alike to come together and recognize the importance of reason in the betterment of humanity.
As it should be.
Exactly. Honda said on a Tuesday press release, the application of reason has proven to improve the conditions in which people live, offer hope and for human survival on Earth, cultivated intelligence, moral and ethical behaviors and interactions among people. Kind of sounds like Ingersoll there.
I was going to say, and you know, it's all good. No, skip that. I just lost my train of thought in the middle of that.
That's fine.
I forgot completely what the hell I was just saying.
He also said, I encourage everyone to take this occasion to reflect upon the way that philosophical principles developed during the Age of Reason influenced our founding fathers as they formed our country, and how the employment of reason, critical thought, and scientific method, and free inquiry can help resolve human problems and improve the welfare of humankind.
Won't it be a nice day when things like this is the majority and religion is the minority?
Well, we're slowly getting there. I mean, this is the second year in a row that he's done this resolution.
I know, but I'm talking as a whole in our everyday lives. We don't have religion shoved in every freaking aspect of our day. Because you could look back on your day and you could see where all the religion kind of was soaking in or influenced in some way or another. It would just be so nice to just get to the, you know, humanity aspect of it and, you know, just get out of this freaking religious aspect. I'm in a bad mood, I think.
I think I put you in a bad mood. Holy crap. It's also hot, so that doesn't help.
I hate the heat.
Anyway, Honda is also the founder of the chair of the... Honda is also the founder and chair of the Congressional Anti-Bullying Caucus and the LGBT Caucus, where he is the vice chair and the founding member. Honda has been a longtime supporter of organized labor and has supported numerous bills for creating living wage. So, kind of cool. Nice politician, right?
Yeah.
But... all that does not make him our Bailey.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Well, he is our Bailey.
Oh, he.
But all that doesn't do it.
We need more.
No, this is what did it.
I was going to say.
He would have made it on this next thing alone.
Oh, okay. So that's what you're saying. Right. I got it now.
He became our Bailey winner when he tweeted a photo of himself on Twitter back in February, grinning next to his beautiful 8-year-old granddaughter, Melissa.
Okay.
And says this, as a proud grandpa of a transgender grandchild, the 8-turned Democrat wrote, I hope that she can feel safe at school without fear of being bullied. With those words, Honda has chosen to make a private family matter very public.
That's something you don't hear.
Yeah, he said, I think there's a time when you have to determine when there's a good teaching moment. And I think this was one of them, the former teacher told NBC News. Mm. And this is important because Melissa, as far back as ultrasound, they knew that their second child would be a boy. But by the time their child was 3, she had chosen a new name for herself.
Wow. Melissa. Really?
On her 8th birthday last summer, Melissa's parents asked everyone to start calling her that and using the pronouns she and her. It was the start of a new life known to the transgender community as transition.
Wow. So that young of an age.
Right. So not only did he support his granddaughter in her transition, he made it public as a congressman.
Which is surprising, not only one making it public, but two making it public of a child so young.
Right.
Because you get a lot of backlash just for that alone.
Right. They're saying, because there's a lot of people that will say, how do they know what gender they are? They're such kids.
Right. Oh, yeah. You hear that over and over again.
But I hear also over and over again is how I knew from a very young age that this kid would be this way.
Right. And in all honesty, even at that young age, if that's the way that they're leaning, if it turns out that in, say, the next 2 years, they change their mind again.
That's fine. That's what
kids do. Obviously, those are the phases children go through. And wherever they end up in is who they wanted to be.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. So accept them at whatever stage in their life they're at.
Right.
Is kind of how I see it.
And that's what Mike Honda has done.
And to be in such a public eye like that, it's very unheard of.
It's very huge. And that's why he's our Potter Award winner this week.
Or Bailey. Holy moly, babe.
I think I'll cut that.
What?
Maybe not.
I can't believe you said that.
I'm so used to saying Potter. We have so many Potters.
Yeah. Well, we had so much ugly, you had to do a Bailey.
Yeah, there was no way I could do a Potter.
Yeah, I was getting very angry with that.
Anyway.
Anyways, we're just ranting at this point.
Yeah. And that's all the yakking we got for you this week.
So we'll see you again on Wednesday next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. SUN is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the SUN and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com.